Good morning and welcome to the Friday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I am Joanne Haig and I will be your host for today. And looking after all things technical is my good friend, John Stout. His voice will be the first you hear when you call 434-1790. To send us a WhatsApp message, it's 266-4862. Now, last week Friday, Netflix premiered a movie by Tyler Perry called A Fall from Grace. If you haven't watched the film, I would encourage you to do so because it actually led me to give more thought to middle-aged women dating younger men and who may be perceived by these younger men as what we call overripe, low-hanging fruit and that they sometimes may take advantage of. However, the movie also went on to show us more about elder abuse, and that is basically what it was about. So I want to encourage you to watch that movie because this morning it brought me to a topic of elder abuse right here in our country. And a couple of weeks ago, we were hearing more, or should I say, I had a story from someone about an older person being unfaired in a, what we say, one of those private homes. And I wouldn't mention the name and I wouldn't go into detail, but I've gotten more and more reports of elder abuse in this country when it's not financial, people taking them down. And we're hopeful that we don't see more of this as we try to change Barbados to make it better. However, I will try my best to shed more light as the days go by, months go by, God spare my life, to bring some attention to this because I personally feel, and maybe because it's because I'm turning 50, I've turned 50, my apologies, and I'm in the middle of my life, you kind of look at it that you have spent more time here on earth than you have left. And it's important to be treated with some respect. I would also like to highlight a response from the Minister of Elder Affairs and People Empowerment, the Honorable Cynthia Ford. And this, her response about issues with the elderly came on the heels of the, unfortunately, the death of an 81-year-old woman who lost her life in a house fire at Newbury in St. George. Now, while we are still waiting for the investigation as to what actually caused the fire, it was reported by her son that he prompted her over and over again not to use this kerosene oil lamp. Now, I had to ask a question. Why do we need kerosene oil imported into this country for domestic use? And if it's being used for commercial use, is it as an additive? And if it is for commercial use, let us see if we can phase out kerosene oil lamps and the purchasing of kerosene oil because I don't see the need for it. You have solar lamps. And I remember months ago, there was a house fire in Bushall, and I made a public plea for people to maybe donate some of these solar lamps to the elderly so they don't have to rely on candles and kerosene oil lamps. So I'm hoping that out of this tragedy, we can see some policy coming from our government about the use of kerosene oil lamps and do we really need them? And I also want to mention again Minister Ford and asking persons to be your brother's keeper. Very few people these days are looking out for the elderly. They're home alone, there are cases of dementia, and people seem to forget that, you know, you're once a man, you're twice a child. And at some point, if God blesses you with longevity, you're going to be there. How do you want to be treated? So it saddens me. And again, maybe because I am now 50, I am seeing it. The reality is coming nearer and nearer that at some point I'm going to need some help. At some point you're going to need some help. And I think right now we need to stop and take stock of the people who raised us, the people who worked really hard and made contributions to Barbados and Barbadians. And we need to start looking out for them. So I want to commend Minister Ford. I'm hopeful that we can hear her during the course of the day. She's listening to give her thoughts on the elderly and what plans her ministry may have. But remember, government cannot do everything. We have a part to play. we used to rely on the old people when we used to go to town, or our parents went to town, and the old people would look out for us. I remember there was an old lady in Bank Hall, and every morning she was always polite. She would say, "Good morning, how are the children, the hearty?" That was always her words, and we always had to show respect to her. Everybody had to say good morning. If she needed help with her bag, you had to help her. If you're on a bus, you get up. The other day I was in the credit union in St. Philip, and I saw old people standing and young people sitting down, and nobody got up. So why have we lost our values, and where did we go wrong? What can we do to protect our elderly? And let's not only put it on government. We want to hear from them. We also know about the geriatric hospital being demolished, and they're going to build a new hospital for the elderly. But let's see what we can do for each other, and let's see how we can look out for the old people who have made a significant contribution. I know for one, my mom, and I know she's listening, she's getting up there in age. Things are different, but she worked really hard for 7 of her children. She's got grandchildren and great-grands, and I would not want to see any of us, including her grandchildren and great-grands, to disrespect her in any way. And I hope that you feel the same way, too, about your family, and lend a helping hand. They're going to need you. Trust me, they're going to need you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
Yeah, hi, this is Glenn Marie.
Hi, Glenn, how are you?
I'm good, and yourself?
Not too bad.
All right, not too bad. He was talking for me, he said excellent or something like that. But
well, I won't go overboard with the excellence, but I am grateful, I am thankful.
Yeah, okay. You raise a very important topic about elderly abuse, but I really don't want to talk about abuse today, not elderly abuse, but talk about cultural abuse today. And let me tell you the context of it has been cultural abuse, man-made cultural abuse system I'm talking about. When the public controversy was at its height a couple of weeks ago about the Golden Square Project,
mm-hmm.
I had expressed the wish that I wish I could have heard the views of Professor Sir Henry Fraser, well-known authority in Barbados on architecture and other aspects of Barbadian life. And I hadn't heard it, and I said I was glad to hear his views on the state of the NAS building, also the fire service building. But in the interim, we've got the very invaluable views of the engineers and the architects, which gave me a greater appreciation how to look at these issues in the future. But I'm very glad today that into this morning news, the 7:30 to 8:30 news on VOB, I heard an interview with Sir Henry Fraser, in which he spoke generally about the Barbados being in danger of losing its designation of UNESCO World Heritage Site for Bridgetown and its garrison.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't think that Barbados had capitalized it or no, but he also didn't mention the fire service, and he was critical of the move for the fire service. They're saying that it was there for a very good reason, but accessibility. You talk about the role it played in the various fires in Bridgetown, and how a few minutes can make a difference between the fate of a building or not. But also, Sir Henry has in the past spoken about the reluctance of Barbados in this current era to reuse and repurpose buildings, and there was a culture of demolition. She even referred to the government's landlord, the Ministry of Housing, as the morticians of government buildings. But then you yourself mentioned something which I would like to get his views on, the geriatric hospital. Again, we are hearing of the demolition of a major architectural piece in Barbados, the geriatric hospital. I don't know if you're very familiar with it, but it's one of the grandest, most imposing buildings in Barbados, public buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I think its beauty has not been fully appreciated because it's been hidden too much away from the views of the public. I think if you had an open lawn with grass and whatnot, people would be able to appreciate the architecture, the frame architecture, and the structure of the building. But I'm hearing now that the Jerry Hospital is to be demolished. And again, no reasons why, but a new one is to be built. Right? Minister Boss is saying, confirmed that there's this discussion and their plans to demolish the old Jerry Hospital. The only rationale being given so far is one is the one of the staff member in the story I read yesterday. I think it was in Barbados Today or the Nation, that the building suffered some leaks and some doors or windows were off. Now those can't. I there has to be a fuller reason. And here's where the landlord, the Ministry of Housing, can give us a rationale for what are the justifiable reasons for the demolition of the geriatric hospital. Tell us why. Certainly it can't be, as a staff member said, some leaks can be fixed, leaks have been fixed. Even in the, I think the new Supreme Court building, a younger building, but leaks can be fixed, doors and windows can be repurposed, replaced, so it can't be more than that. I've never heard any report that the geriatric hospital was unsung, collapsing, the foundation was, was weak, it was structurally unsung, nothing like that. So I'm trying to get an idea as to why there is this need to demolish the national insurance, the geriatric hospital, and build a new one. But Minister Boston, in all fairness, said that he did not have the information, he didn't know where the new site would be, etc. But why? Where is it going to be? What will it cost? Where is the money going to come from? But more important, why does the geriatric hospital have to go? But if that were so, the other geriatric hospitals in Barbados that should go, because most of them, from my recollection and my knowledge, and if you look at the promo on the St. Lucie one, St. Lucie building, the oldest in Barbados, I'm bad shape. All them need a program and a policy of refurbishing led by government. You talk about elderly abuse. Well, if these buildings are meant to occupy and care to the elderly, give them improved surroundings. It's not just somebody at home. But I know from association with some in the past that they were long in need of proper refurbishment, step by step remedial modernization, sort of like maintain the character wherever possible of the buildings, but at the same time give them a greater facility. So I'd like to say that the building Maxwellton in Cameron, you're familiar with that building?
Yes.
Which is now occupied by the disability unit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You remember there was a move afoot that was in neglect for many years. It used to house, in case you don't know, it used to house the personnel administration building, which is now housed, personnel administration division, sorry, which is now man, it has a different name now, but it's now housed at the Humphrey Walker building at the corner of Culloden Road. And that was in danger of being cast aside. And you see what is done to it now? I mean, it's a fine building. So we have to not only talk about it, we have to have a passion for and be committed wherever possible to maintain, to sustain these buildings, because they add to our man-build culture, which is just as important as our intangible, as our visual arts, or our food, or music, or dance, or whatever. So I'd like to call for a good rationalization, because I heard that it was going to be the Golden Care Spare Project. I never heard a reason why they were getting rid of the national. So not a serious step-by-step empirical evidence, all the expert advice the way it was going. There was talk of a sick building.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody has ever... Yeah, I know there's a sick building, and from my research, there's a sick building and there's a sick building syndrome. A sick building syndrome is where people, for no reason that can be detected or pinpointed, have various issues, cough, cold, runny nose, some of the things that were reported in that associated very same building after a while. I admit to that. But then what are the steps you go through that determine something is a sick building? And if that were so, what happened in the case of the NAS building? But that is a job. I don't want you to comment, I don't want you to compromise your professional position.
I'm not compromising but I was going to ask you a question. I want to get back to the geriatric first, then I'm going to come forward a bit.
Yeah, sure, certainly.
With the demolition. You are aware, though, if you renovate a hospital, you can't necessarily have patients there while you're doing it, depending on how detailed, the depth of the renovation. So, I mean, of course, you're just repairing a pipe or a sink, that's okay. But if you're talking about replacing a roof and so on, et cetera, you still have to. I understand where you're talking about preserving. I'm one for preserving buildings and maintaining them. And I'm hoping that everything that we build from here on, if it's too late for some, hopefully that we start now with a proper maintenance program for everything that we construct. So even if they decide not to demolish it, even though I read what you read, there are plans to demolish the building. And yes, I can agree with you that this is a geriatric that I'm talking about, hospital. There was no detail at this point, no timeline at this point. But again, if you're going to renovate a building, obviously costs, we look at, and if it's cheaper to renovate or to demolish. But we also know that if you're building something somewhere else, you need to house your patients. So what would you propose then if you have to renovate that building? What would you do with all of the
I get your point. If you're going to renovate, you have to house them. Mm-hmm. But if it's demolished, you still have to house them too?
But you can then build and then demolish. You can build and move them and then demolish the building. So that's a little bit more strategic.
You can phase your renovation by doing it in portions and have sections housed elsewhere. It is possible. It has happened before.
But these are elderly people. This place is not. But it's not like Buckingham Palace, where in the South Wing, you're not going to hear a noise. You're going to hear it, and you're going to feel it, and the dust is going to be there. I personally, and I know you share this with me because you're around my age group, right, Glenn?
But the thing is that
I would be concerned if I'm lying in a hospital bed, and I am of age. And all of this is going on around me, and someone is telling me I have to put up with it.
But weren't having renovations from time to time be done at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital?
But what we're talking about is a roof and so on. Remember, we said leaks and so on. So I'm saying that if it's light renovation, you are presuming to know that.
You presume how extensive repairs.
I'm not presuming anything. I'm actually saying if it is a light renovation, it all depends on the extent of what is required.
That is why they give the public a detailed idea as to what is involved, or what would be the justification for the contemplation of demolition. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that if you demolish a building, you're going to have to, if you renovate it even, you're talking about elderly people. It is not as big as the QEH hospital, a wing, you know, you could do the eye care well. Something else is happening where you can still keep your patients.
But you plan for it. You don't wake up one night and say, I'm demolished. So you plan and you work out the best way to implement it in a structured, organized way where it will be economically viable to do.
But then you are assuming that one is not being done.
But
you understand where you're coming from. In other words, we don't know. All we know is that an announcement was made. But Lang, hear me out. If an announcement was made, if I was the Queen and I'm traveling to Australia to attend a summit, I might just say it. But then somebody's going to ask, what is the cost? What's it costing the taxpayers? Sometimes you make an announcement and then you give the details later. So
I've also made announcements in my time.
Of course.
And I've also reported announcement made, and what you said there will be done, and you say, it will be done for what reasons? And right now, we don't know the cost or where it will go. You're not asked for a complete, detailed plan there and then, but give in your initial give people an initial idea as to why it is being done.
How long ago was the announcement made about the geriatric hospital?
A couple of years ago.
I only read it between yesterday and this morning, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Well, could be. Let us be fair.
You don't think it's enough time for ministers to know to have the reasons why? To say, structural reasons, it is give some kind of rationality. The Minister of Health, it falls onto him. He must be, no, you must tell me. I work in government as a minister. There are reasons. And if you know, you find out, especially as to what has gone on over the NS building and the fire service, you would seek to preempt any controversy by giving information up front, like how you've sought to do in your way with you.
Well, I cannot agree with you in terms of the timeline. If it was just announced, I think that in all fairness, give them some time. But remember with the whole NIS building, that it was announced more than a year in 2018, which you were not aware, and I believe Mr. Price, Sanka, made you aware, and I made him aware. Everybody was aware that the Prime Minister made an announcement regarding the demolition of that building and referred to it as a sick building. And she also said that because the history of Clement Paine and the movement and the fact that he died for workers, you then can't have right behind there a building that made workers sick. So I'm just saying, let us be fair and give Minister Bostic and whoever needs to explain
how much time does the minister
but
need
it
to
was
say,
just why, announced. That's
why,
really,
how much time does the ministers need to say why it is being done, why it will go? That is no state secret. It has nothing to do with national security. You're not asking for facts. You're not asking for cost, location. Tell me why it is going to go. My name is girl. My mom always taught me in high school, the most important question is why. Why?
And I believe you should get the answers. I believe we all should get the answers. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying, I think it's a little unfair that right after an announcement, you're saying everything should have been divulged
I did not say everything. All I'm saying, give us the reason up front. I'm not interested in cost or location. Give the reason why a building of that stature and nature and beauty and age needs to be demolished. That's simple.
Well, Blaine, let's hope then that with your plea, let's hope we hear from the minister today before the end of the show with an explanation, okay?
Thanks for entertaining.
Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Ms. Haig.
Yes, this is she.
Yes, thank you. Let me express my congratulations for the job that you're doing in that position. I think you're not only airing our problems, but enlightening a lot of people. Please continue.
Thank you.
I want you to give me the opportunity just to pass some information to the Barbadian public.
Okay.
As part of our contribution to the regathering exercise in St. Lucie, the Anglican churches, particularly St. Swithin and St. Clement, are offering again tomorrow a free legal clinic where a number of competent attorneys would be on hand to answer any problems you may have free of charge. And those clinics continue from 10 until 1 tomorrow. We are really inviting the public to come with your problems and discuss it.
So you want to repeat exactly where again?
It's at the St. Clement Center. Mm-hmm. That's on your way to Pye Corner. Mm-hmm. On your right, it's just past the Ignatius Byer Primary School. And at the center of St. Swithin's Church, this is in the yard of the St. Swithin's Church in Greenwich, St. Lucie. And as I've indicated, we'll be there from 10 o'clock until 1 to assist any person who would want to discuss their legal problem.
So basically, any legal problem at all?
Well, yes. Certainly if you want guidance, we can always entertain you. It may not be something we can get through with in the 3 hours allotted, but certainly you may take away guidance that you can continue with your inquiries.
I think it's a good idea. I'm just saying that, you know, if you already have a lawyer, hopefully then this lawyer would be able to give you the correct advice and admit if the people need another lawyer, if you want to put it that way. I think it's a good idea that we can get free legal advice, but I know people listening right now, and there are a lot of people in this country right now that have some issues with some lawyers in terms of the length of time. So hopefully some of the questions that they would ask would be, why is this taking so long? What measures can I take in order to speed it up? What recourse do I have about my land? So that's the type of advice you're talking about, right?
That's right.
All right. I think it's fantastic. And I hope that people... Is it only for St. Lucie people or anybody can come down?
No, anybody can come.
Okay.
Anybody can come. Well, last week we had somebody from almost on the other side of the island. Mm-hmm. So anybody can come. Just bring your problems and, you know...
Bring your problems and come.
Yes,
I like that.
Legal problems.
well, hopefully the problems will be solved, because then all the lawyers might be able to do is do a listening ear. So let's hope that not only bring your problems and come with an effort to have them resolved as best as possible. Yeah?
That's right. That's right.
All right. I like the sound
of
that.
Thank you very kindly.
You're welcome. This is Down to Brass Tacks, 1025. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, John.
Good morning.
I want $5.
Would that be Guyanese? Yeah. TT? I could give you 5 Guyanese.
You say ready credit union, or there's a guy to pay a bill, you had a guy to withdraw or put on.
Oh, you didn't know that I was trying to beg them for a chance to so that I can, they may be listening now. I might have been going in there saying, listen, I can't pay you this month. You don't always go to credit union for money, you know. You go to credit union sometimes to beg for some leniency.
I beg you for $5. Anyhow.
Yes.
Three things I want to talk about. I support Mr. your first father.
Mr. Murray.
Totally. He's so correct, but I don't like coming after him, you know. He divert me by responding to him what he has said, but I don't have to do that at a time. Mm-hmm. Spikestown. I heard I had a meeting in Spikestown about rebuilding Spikestown. And the attendance was very, very poor. I spoke to over 150 people about restoring Spikestown. People who live in St. Peter. And they're all for it. I had also called the constituency office of Colin Jordan. I give my contact information. I label it as urgent. He never called. You know what I mean? I'm not a man who sets about taking credit for things, but just like, see things being done. But I'm going to tell you how Spikestown can be brought back to life. You know, I hear people talking about society and the economy. You need businesses in Spikestown that can pull people to Spikestown. One business is already there, SYNM. You need a popular supermarket. I was told he was true. You also need a sheriff. Once you get those businesses in place, people can come from St. Lucie, obviously, St. Andrew, and the parishes where people can access it.
I hope that these places sort of reward you somehow for the promotion that you just gave them.
Another thing, right? I observed the huge busload of people leaving the north of the island every Friday going to Oystings. Oystings is just one fishing village. In the Spikestown area, St. Peter, St. James area, you have Stitchman. You have the same Spikestown. You got some fellows who sell fish there right there on the border. PNC and standing in. You have Half Moon Fort. If we can get what Oystings is doing, but with a better infrastructure, offer all Oystings side nowadays is salads, mayonnaise, and a lot of fried this and fried that, with healthy foods. Spikestown is also full of history. I don't know how much history Oystings got. It is also surrounded by Friday Hill. If you can move people on sightseeing tours from space, there's a lot that can be done. You know why you're doing this? I know why you're doing this. For once in my life, I can be selfish. A lot of people come on this program with ideas. The ideas are noted. And then years after, some politicians come and start beating their chest. I do this and I do that. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen this thing. There's one there, Mr. Pete, that'd be selfish as hell.
And do what? I'm sorry. Right? I'm trying to figure out how you're going to be selfish. You're sharing the information.
Right. I know what I mean. Okay. I know what I mean. I know what context I mean.
Okay.
What did Bob Marley, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, what those men had in common?
Well, first of all, they're all black. That's for sure.
Yeah, but most importantly,
yes,
they were trying to unite their people. They sacrificed their lives trying to unite people. I studied Bob Marley's life, but I studied him for an exam. And I heard his mother say, he told her, is going to be killed at the age of 30. An assassination attempt was made on his life. That didn't stop him. These men knew that the price what they would have had to have paid for what they were doing, it didn't stop them. Where is it that we are so afraid to build on the foundation that they have built for us? You know why? We are cowards. We are not even thinking about our children and what they will come into if we don't start doing something about things. That's what we are. I have here, for so Malcolm X. And I'm going to quote what he's saying. I hope that people will listen, especially people who carry the same color. Because we are all, this is not about racism. We are all worse enemies of them.
Go ahead with your quote.
It's time now for all people to become conscious of the importance of controlling the economy of our community. If we own the stores, if we operate the businesses, if we try and establish some industry in our own community, then we are developing to the position where we are creating employment for our own kind. Once you get control of the economy of your own community, then you don't have to pick it. Don't come for a job in his business. The social philosophy of black nationalism only means that we have to get together and remove the evils, the vices, alcoholism, drug addiction, and other evils that are destroying the moral fabric of our community. Okay. We ourselves have to lift the level of our community, the standard of our community, to a higher level. Make our own society beautiful so that we will be satisfied in our own social circles. Mm-hmm. And won't be running around here trying to knock our way into a social circle. There's more, but I'm not going to take up much time.
Well, basically, so in a nutshell, what you're saying, that these great people, you're saying that Barbadians need to stand up for what they believe in peacefully, like the others did, and that they should not be afraid to do so. Okay. Well, wait, I get that about you. I think everybody in Barbados understands that you are fearless when it comes to speaking out for those who need a voice. And I share that with you, that we should all do what we can. But just remember, not everybody is bold enough to do so. And this is why we have people like you to stand up for people who can't stand up for themselves. But I want to thank you, as always, for your contribution. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. I want to read this WhatsApp message. It's in reference to Mr. Murray's comments. The person says here, "Good morning, Joyanne. I am a nurse at the geriatric hospital on Beckles Road. In reference to Mr. Murray's comments, the geriatric hospital is in dire need of a complete overhaul. We have buildings, including the nursing office and staff quarters, which are no longer usable. It has been condemned. We have leaky roofs, poor bathroom facilities, faulty, outdated electrical, and I could go on and on and on. Bed spacing is awful. Patients' beds are almost touching each other, and the wards are overcrowded with little or no privacy." The person went on to say that they've been a nurse at the geriatric hospital for 20 years. So you're hearing it according to this person, that they happen to work there. And I think that we have to be mindful that we, on the outside looking in, we have to be mindful of those who have to work in these facilities, including the patients. And if it's not acceptable for them, who are we to say otherwise? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Ms. Hayes.
Good morning.
Yeah. On the, I think it was the 12th of January, 2 days after my birthday, I decided to take a vacation.
Well, happy belated birthday, by the way.
Yeah, I decided to take a vacation from issues besides cricket. I decided to still call the cricket programs, but politics and things, I would take a little vacation.
Cricket not on still?
Yeah, but I mean, I would still call cricket issues dealing with cricket, like Andrew Mason and things.
Okay.
But I start sending the other programs sky, and think, I decide to take a little vacation.
Okay, so but you're back. Okay.
No, I'm not back. I'm back today.
So you're back.
And I was forced out today. And the email is that, or WhatsApp that you just read, I'm so glad that that came in just before I speak. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you why. A couple of days ago, I heard the Minister of Health. And when he, after hearing him, I take my right hand and hit my head. Because I really thought I was still sleeping. I was dreaming. So I had to make sure that I was awake. And I can tell you why. Between, I think it's 2009, 2011, somewhere in between there. I don't have the date directly. I, Alvin, with the firm that I was working for at that time, I only lose my vision in late 2015, so you understand I was working all that time. I, along with at least two firms, was working on that institution. I don't know that lady that got 20 years, if she was there, because 20 years she had to be there. And let me tell you what happened at that institution under a gentleman called Don the Innes. David Effort was moved from the Ministry of Health, and Don the Innes took over the Ministry of Health. And let me tell you what happened at that institution. I witnessed opening endless New Englanders in that building. They had one team remodeling and changing up certain parts of the building, and my company was installing windows, only windows I was installing. I also then was given the company that I was working with. If you come up backwards and you swing in, on the right-hand side of the institution, the security sits right there. The office, the security is there. And there's another little building that was run down there at the time. We overhauled that building, new barn. And I understand, I don't know, that it was being done to be the pharmacy, dispensary. I am telling you, when you walk, when you drive in or walk in, the first building you get on your right-hand side was completely overhauled between 2009-2010. I work on it. While working there, the cuts was in an old building that used to leak. And on two occasions, I had to go on the roof and try to stop the leaks that they could cook. And at that time, they say, a new brand kitchen was being built. That institution have a new kitchen. I don't know what that lady is talking about. So much work was done on that building under Don the Innes. Ask anybody that working there besides whoever saying, that is why I tell you, I don't like these things reading on bar stats before a name. Because I don't know if it's true. Because that lady was working there 20 years. She had to see the amount of work that was done there between 2009, maybe up to 2011. That's when we was transferred from there and sent another well-known person home, which is St. Philip One. We leave there and went and put endless work on St. Philip Holmes too. And then they move us from St. Philip and send us to Gordon Cummings home. All that work was done with me in a firm that I was working with between 2009 and 2011. But it continued. When I hear our Minister of Health say he's going to demolish, you mean all that money that was spent that time with the new bar kitchen, all that work we did changing all them things, you mean you're going to destroy all them? Taxpayers' money ain't got no real value no more. All that work was done less than 10 years, it says. A new brand kitchen. And as I tell you, you could go in there anytime. All those vendors, then you go to the first building on the right-hand side. Every window in there, new brand. Every door in there, new brand. All the ceilings, new brand. Building, new brand cabinets. Not like kitchen cabinets. Places for storing. New brand, Miss Hayes. What I don't understand about Barbados since 20, when people say political, since the 18th of May, nobody's asking this government questions. I called a minister a couple of Sundays ago. She was on the air. And I asked her, who is responsible for 2020? Which ministry? Which is the minister from the secretary's way down? And you know what that minister tell me? Everybody's chipping in. In all of my years of politics, I never had such madness in all my life. Someone had to be responsible. That if it fail or whatever, the blame will fall on them. You can't have 2020 regathering and ministries chipping in. I tell when I ask her how much it costs, she don't know. But the same news media that I decide always attacking, because the Israel is always attacked before they say it. When the last government was celebrating 50 years of independence, they went to parliament and voted for 6 million. And this same opposition, this same government that was in opposition, cried down the money, said it's waste of money, too much money. But they could be doing a 2020 regathering, and nobody has to know the price.
You so may I ask you a question, more. Alvin?
Yes.
So you are against the demolition, is that clear? That's your position? You're against the demolition?
Not that I'm against. I don't understand it.
Okay.
How can you be pushing on your kitchen? That kitchen was built less than 10 years.
But you do understand, we could also look at this from another set of eyes, perspective. Was it built, and I'm not saying your company didn't build it properly.
Another company.
Well, okay. Well, then it's fair for me to ask. Was it built properly? Were there any...
That is what the news media... That is what the Minister of Health should say. Mm-hmm. All the work was done between 2009 onward. Mm-hmm. All the work bad. That may go for some new building.
No, but I'm saying we have to ask... You're right in asking questions. That's why I asked you if you're for the demolition. And I think you've been... I think you're being fair when you said... You know, it's not that you're not for it. You need to know what happened. What happened to the brand new kitchen?
This is not so to cross you. Because this thing got me so annoyed. This government got me real annoyed. But the media got me more annoyed than the government. On the ground. You know, because I'm visually impaired. So I'd be listening. Mm-hmm. I didn't let other people watch. The information on the ground about where the National Insurance Building Fire Station, the temporary market, getting moved. It's different to what we've been hearing from the call you want to hear, the Prime Minister speak on it on one time. Once, all the other ministers silent, all of them. The only body that you could talk to about where this building is pushing down and the fire station for a park is a lady who's just doing the job because she's employed to do that. And it's unfair to taxpayers. Because what I'm saying is this here. If you want a park, you got Queen's Park, you got Independence Square, you got a little park there by the Central Bank. You want to tell me you can move my hard-working firemen's out before I have somewhere properly to put them? It's only a park you want. Why move them out in a hurry to build a park that nobody, and the same people that gone cabinet, I'm like, pass this thing in Canada, Tridgen, in that park, you know. That park too close to Nelson Street. They ain't near that park when it finished. But they're going to tell me they're putting my good firemen's, hard working firemen's, scattered them all about to build a park. It isn't true. They know that's not the purpose. Come and tell us the truth, Mrs. And I'm so annoyed. You have a good day because I came back from...
Well, I'm going to wish you a good day and I hope you enjoy the rest of your cricket, if cricket indeed is still on. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mrs. How are you this morning?
I am well, and you?
Well, I upset because I find that a lot of these scholars, they're talking about politics. Mrs., that building was there 14 years back. Why couldn't the detractors that coming out made representation of what should have been done and this and that and the third? How come no one has the government now come with an idea? What they're going to do with it? That all the detractors coming in. That the building was there, or we could have seen it. You don't feel that if they got so much talk now that they can put forward ideas? The same way they put forward ideas now, they can put them forward?
I would like to respond to you for a second.
My dear.
What is painful for me in the preamble where I'm speaking about senior citizens and how we treat others, a lot of our callers actually, I believe, would fall into that category. And instead of some of the callers look to see, and I can't tell them how to make the contribution, but it's kind of sad that you're looking at an issue that if we get to live long enough, if I get to live long enough, 70, 80, I'm going to need some help. I'm going to want people to treat me with respect, including a government, my neighbors. And that just went right over the heads of the very people that I'm sitting here trying to get people to protect. And if they couldn't see it that way and only want to make reference to a building and the why, it's kind of sad to see where our priorities are in terms of how we feel about each other. The building or a senior citizen who should really be grateful that people in this country might want to advocate for their rights to be respected, to the pensions, to proper health care. You know, and to me, and the geriatric hospital news, because this was something I wanted to mention the last couple of days, because I'll be honest with you, I am getting a lot of feedback from some of the elderly persons. Yesterday, someone told me about a man in town. I said, "You sure he's not one of the drug users?" He said, "No, he's an elderly person. He had one shoe on, one shoe off, and the flies around his the wound. And that you can actually smell him before you can see him." In other words, and he had this trolley with his clothes. Now, I don't know who he is. I would like to find out who he is and maybe reach out to Kimar Safri. But I'm sure that gentleman has family.
Of course.
You know, so I'm not telling callers what to call about.
Yeah. I agree with you.
It pains me that you sitting here and saying, "Look, we need to really look out for each other in terms of the elderly." I guess because, as I said, I'm seeing it more. I guess growing up and your parents listen to the obituaries and you're kind of wondering why. And as you get older, there are people around you that are ill and they're dying, and some of them without their family, without dignity. And all I'm just here saying is that we need to make sure that our elderly people are okay in this country. And it can't be only at the government level. Government can only do so much, and as any government, I'm talking about what we used to do back in the days where we knew when our neighbors went to town and nobody can come around the house, you know, unusual in a neighborhood. Nobody disrespected the old girl or the old guy walking down the street. You had to have manners. You get up when you're in a bus or sitting somewhere where somebody old will come. And I'll mention this too, because I'll mention the polyclinic.
I got to mention them. Them there too.
Right. I was told yesterday when all the rain at Warren's Polyclinic, someone called me, dropping off their mother. No, worse than that. The rain falling and nobody would open the door to let the old people in and pregnant people. Now, granted, it might not have been the time to open the door, but if you are inside and you can see people getting soaked, dear God, why couldn't you not just say, "Look, we're not open yet, but come in. Stand there because we're still mopping," or something, and allow the people to get inside. And that was reported to me. It was not yesterday morning, the morning before, we had all of that rain, a lot of rain. And it was said that no one opened the door until, you know, of course, they said, "Well, we're not open yet." You know,
okay,
and you left old people and pregnant people outside till you were ready to open the doors, and you were right there. You could see them. Kadir, open the door. You know?
No.
Go on, sir.